Blog Talk Radio.
That's right. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. September 21st, 2020. Welcome to another crazy edition of the Absolute Truth Show right here on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host with the most, the man with the plan, the icon, the legend, the king of king himself. God damn, I'm so good. I am the Hot Rod. And on the phone lines I have...
Yes, it is Sean Black in the building. Oh, by the way, you forgot to add one more adjective to that list.
No. We're going to the next person right now.
No. We're not going to go through that without that one more adjective, and that's birthday boy.
I don't know what you're talking about. Happy
birthday, old man. Today, you are 18 million years old. Congratulations, Hot Rod.
The words kiss my ass mean anything to you?
Not on this show.
No, okay. Very good. And thank you so much. And on the phone, another phone line, I have the one, the lovely, talented, actually, I am her role model and her hero. I have the fabulous lady in the building. Oh, Lady T?
You've driven her off the show. Go figure.
I guess so. Go figure. I can't win. Oh well. I got lost track there. Excuse me. Well, you know the number, guys. 347-989-8402. Sean Black, with everything going on, are you still ready to piss some people off?
We haven't done that in a while, so we might as well go on ahead.
Okay. Well, it's funny that thank you for mentioning that it's my birthday. Yes, I am 18 million years old. But as you know, and a lot of my other friends know, that I love to have parties and have gatherings and get together and celebrate. Do I care about my birthday too much? No, of course, once you get older. But I care about celebration in general. And a lot of people have asked me, oh, Hot Rod, what are you doing for your birthday, you know? But everybody know me for having these crazy parties or gatherings. But I told them, is there a pandemic going on? You know? And I told them I'm not having anything. And some people, Sean Black, got disappointed / upset that I'm not having anything. And I told myself, you know, I didn't make a big deal about it. Like, once again, there's a pandemic going on.
Yeah.
There's people dying and getting sick every single day. Am I missing something here? Are we going to reach right now we reach a milestone, and usually milestones are good to celebrate, but this is one of the milestones that's very upsetting, disappointing, sad. And we did say this in the shows in the past, that we will reach over 200,000. And today we reach over 2,000 deaths in America, over 6 million cases worldwide.
Yeah.
And with everything going on, it's not the time to celebrate, really. It's like real sad. It's like us on the news today, and, you know, the show faces of people who passed over the last 6 months. And there was one college kid who played football whose birthday is today, and he will have turned 21, but he passed away a week, 10 days after he found out he had the pandemic. And, you know, we hear these sad news over and over again. It is still mind-boggling overall how, till this day, 6 months later, over 200,000 people passed away. There are still people out there who are not taking this seriously at all.
And probably
and that's
never
why,
will.
And that's why this coronavirus may not go away.
Yeah.
It seems like it's here to stay. Well,
yeah,
ahead,
I think that the one thing that people, this is just to put this into perspective. The United States has, on average, about 330 million people living in the country, which is roughly about 4.3% of the world's population. Yet, with that being the case, 21% of the people that are dead from coronavirus are from the United States. 200,000 people is literally an entire city in the United States. That's like Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Think about that. That is insane. So for any of the people that are living in this country now that are still under the guise that this is some sort of hoax, this is some sort of government plot, or this is some sort of made-up whatever to gain whatever power, people need to open up their eyes and look at what the heck is going on. The economy is falling apart. People have lost lives. Things have happened in this country. There are places that people can't travel to that other countries that would normally grab people from the United States and have their tourism come here to come to this country, come to that country. They don't want anybody from the United States coming to their country. Why? Because they're afraid of getting the pandemic spread over here, over there.
Mm-hmm. Is this a crazy situation overall? Like, how many times we call or text each other every day saying, Oh, guess what? Oh, perfect example. The wedding that happened up in Maine. A wedding party of 60 people, I believe, give or take.
Yes.
I forgot the numbers completely, but like, let's say half of them were sick. Seven people die from that wedding reception, and guess what? Those seven people who passed away did not attend that wedding. It was the guy from other people who attended the wedding.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
To them, it was just a small gathering. So 60 people is probably 59 people too much.
It's
just mind-boggling. Lady T?
Yes, maybe we are having some technical difficulties, I guess.
Yes. But overall, it was mind-boggling. And it was another story about a family having a barbecue, an outdoor barbecue. They got sick.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe someone passed away. So it's like, how many times, you have people getting sick over the same thing over and over, having get-togethers. And like I told you the other day, I went to a restaurant for the first time, an indoor restaurant. But the reason why I went indoors, nobody was indoors, everybody was outside, So the people outside, we go inside, we go out again. We try to enjoy ourselves, but we're taking caution overall.
Yeah.
And it's like mind-boggling. Hold on.
Yeah.
Lady T? Still having problems. Sorry, Lady T. I blame Sean Black for this.
Of course. No, just blame it on the fact that it's the Hot Rod's birthday. That's what the issue is. That's what the problem is.
Hey, yes, well, go ahead.
But I think in all reality, all of the things that you just
brought
up.
I hear her now. Lady T, I think I hear you.
Hmm? You guys can hear me now?
We can hear you now.
Oh,
yes.
Hey, how you doing?
No, I was saying, I think people are tired of hearing the numbers with the virus. Something that somebody said to me today at the bus stop, they were like, people are not social distancing. We're wearing our masks, this, that, the next. They're tired of this coronavirus, if there's a coronavirus still around, blah, blah, blah. So some people really don't care anymore. Some people already lost family members from this. People are drained with this already. So when you hear, are you having a party, whatever, whatever, they think they can just carry on because restaurants are open, traveling is open. You understand what I'm saying? So,
in other words, life
in
goes on.
That is fair. Yeah, life goes on. You get it, get it. You don't.
Yeah. I think a lot of people feel what they call coronavirus fatigue, where they had to deal with this back in March, and they had to deal with it in April. They dealt with it in May. At around May-ish, June-ish, the cases started to diminish a little bit, and then they went back up again. And everybody was like, okay, what is going on? And then we had all of the stuff that was going on overall, and the hurricanes that have hit certain places. We've had so many things happen that have confounded what's gone on with the coronavirus and how people respond to it. And I know we have probably all experienced that one person that has said something that either made you scratch your head about the coronavirus pandemic or something along the lines of why would you think a certain way? I think everybody has gotten to the point where, like you said, they're tired of it and they want to get to the other side of it, where we want to know, well, when can we get back to normal? When can we get back to going out to see a sporting event or go to a restaurant or go to the movies, et cetera, et cetera? I think a lot of businesses would like to be able to do that as well. But it's kind of hard to get to. Yeah. And it's hard to get to that part.
You have, true. But you have the CDC who can't make up their freaking mind. Oh, one day? I'm like, due to the politics, the CDC cannot come out with a rule of what to do, what not to do. One day, they tell you to wear a mask. Another day, don't wear your mask. Another day,
but can you blame them, though, when they were shut down by Trump in the beginning when this first happened? They were not allowed to handle what they wanted to handle when they needed to handle it in the beginning. So for them to not know which way to go with it, I think that's understandable. Sorry.
Yeah.
I don't think there's a legit way to go about it right now other than protect yourself, just use your disinfectants and so forth. That's the norm for any immune, any immune attacking disease or whatever you want to call it. So,
true, Lady T, but like I told Sean Black earlier, it's like I'm being cautious. I'm trying to enjoy myself. I went to an indoor restaurant. Well, I went to a booth with plexiglass with my family because everybody was outside, I'm trying to enjoy ourselves because it was, when we went inside the restaurant, we felt weird, like, wow, it's been like months to eat inside a restaurant, but I have anxiety at the same time. It's just weird overall, but we take it cautious compared to other people, screw it. If I don't, oh well,
I just want to say something. It's interesting when you talk about, like, indoor restaurants and things like that. Aren't we eating indoors at our homes, too? So kind of what's the difference if they're going to be disinfecting, the inside and keeping it to a minimum of certain people in the indoor as well. You understand what I'm saying? It's no different than you eating amongst your family, let's say a family gathering at, let's say, a mom's home or something. So what is the difference?
I think the difference that they're trying to stress is eating outside with other people that you don't know about per se, and limiting the amount of people that you are around, and getting food from areas where you don't know if the cook was exposed, you don't know if the person that got something was serving somebody who had been around someone else who had gotten exposed, as opposed to being around, like you said, in a family setting where maybe it's mom and dad and maybe a brother or sister or whatever.
Sean Black, family corporate virus.
I'm still not convinced, though. I'm still just not convinced with the outdoor dining. It's all the same, indoor, outdoor. Don't tell me that something that you guys compare to a flu is living on the surface. Isn't it surface to skin? To me, more outdoor, just like how they tell kids to restrict them from the park when they have low immune system disorders and things like that, you're restricted from certain outdoor activities. So it just is, I'm not convinced with the whole outdoor dining and stuff. To me, that's even more disgusting than the indoor, where you can actually handle the surfaces as people are eating, versus outdoor, where there's a bunch of people coming up here, there, everywhere. I don't know. I'm not convinced with the outdoor dining yet.
And to your point, Lady T, we all have seen these restaurants in New York City that's on the streets. You have the fumes from the cars.
Mm-hmm.
New York have very dirty pollution. But at the same time, when they tell you the social distance, they have to be 6 feet away. If you look at the tables, the way it's set up, it's probably more dangerous.
It's even closer, too.
Probably
but
is
I don't
more
know.
Dangerous to your point.
If you own a car, you are really somewhat perturbed that you can't find any parking because of what's been going on. A lot of these restaurants have to put those tables in a seating area in potentially a parking space to kind of accommodate the whole 6 feet apart rule. And there was just about a month ago, somebody was hit by a car sitting in one of those restaurants. I believe it was either in the Bronx or it was in Manhattan. They were eating in one of the establishments, and a car came out and hit the area. And these are the kinds of risks that get taken. With this is the kind of the new norm, so to speak. But what's going to happen when the weather gets colder and you can no longer eat outside without having to deal with snow, having to deal with that kind of stuff? I think that's where it's going to really start to be an issue.
And that's when you eat inside and you take your chances of catching the corona. Once again, there's no difference. Outside, inside. Family get-together? No family get-together. Weddings? It's mind-boggling. And like I told Sean, ladies, people got upset that, you know, were disappointed that I did not have a birthday gathering. I'm like, number one, I'm too old, I'm tired, and broke. But at the same time, there's a pandemic going on. I don't want a gathering, you know. I celebrate my birthday every year, but this time it's just my family. But even when I went to my father's house yesterday, I was wearing a mask. Because, once again, I don't know if I'm carrying it. He's very old and fragile and asthmatic. If he catches it because of me, it's my fault. Because I was not protecting myself and him at the same time. And he could have
you wouldn't be able to live with yourself knowing that that was the case.
Listen, at this point, this whole coronavirus thing is like safe sex. Put your condom on.
Look, we don't do that,
and call it a day. Well, hey, then you're at risk. That's what it's reminding me of. I'm sorry. I don't know what else to tell y'all.
And you know the crazy thing is, can you imagine now the dating scene of trying to go out on a date, and not only you have to worry about, okay, this person making enough money, is this person not going to do anything, any bodily harm, et cetera, et cetera. Does this person have an STD? Does this person have coronavirus? That's the new prerequisite now. So that's got to be really, really odd.
When you go on your date, you carry the COVID test kit with you. Here you go. You swab each other. You get the results in 15 minutes. If you pass, you carry on with the date. That's how you do it, okay?
You're going to need it for a while, the test.
Well, while you're waiting for the results, you can get to know each other at that time, you know, through a mask.
The way I cough is this way. The way I cough is that way. That's going to be a weird conversation to have.
There's no holding hands and stuff like that.
Unless you're wearing gloves.
And Lady T, before I move on, with the coronavirus and everything, Sean Black a few weeks ago told me you got his vaccine shot. My doctor made me schedule to get my flu shot in October. I have never gotten a flu shot before in, like, let's say 12, 13 years, because I don't believe in it. I got sick from it. I'm anti-medicine. Now, with everything that's going on right now, with the craziness, do you think people should be more cautious and take the flu shot right now?
You're going to have some people that are going to be in panic. They're going to want to get it. They never got it before. They're definitely going to want to get it. Me, personally, for myself, I'm getting no shots. I don't need anybody saying, hey, I just gave you a flu shot. Oh, matter of fact, sorry, it was a coronavirus shot.
Yeah.
I don't need it.
We have to get you. Oh, so in other words, instead of the flu vaccine, we give you the coronavirus.
They're slipping you a Mickey, on the other words?
I'm not playing. I just don't want it. It's not necessary.
I think what we should do is to dispel all of this notion that keeps going around that people are getting the flu for getting the flu vaccine. Outside of the occasional person that may be allergic to some of the ingredients in the vaccine, which is like eggs, et cetera, you cannot get the flu from getting the flu vaccine. And that's the one thing that scares most people, Sean Black.
Sorry, Sean.
I disagree 100% because, like I said, when I got the flu shot, that's when I got sick. That's when I got the flu. And I never took it again. I've never been really sick. Yes, I'm sick in my head. I'm not going to deny that.
Well, that goes without saying.
I never got the flu again. So I completely 100% disagree with you, Sean Black. And it's my birthday, I could get away with that. But, K-Dog, anything like to add on before we move on?
I just wanted to say happy birthday, Hot Rod. What's up to everybody? And
thank you.
Hey, man, you know, just be safe out there, people. The bottom line is just be safe because, you know, it's crazy out there.
Mm-hmm. Yes, indeed. Now, Lady T, I will bring it to you first. On Friday night, we lost a great legend, a pioneer, the passing of Ruth Bader Ginsburg. We knew she was sick for a long time, so the death is sad, but it is not a surprise. But unfortunately, like I told Sean Black before the show, God forbid we don't have any politics or drama involving this. Now, what do you think about the passing? Why would it have such an impact in the next election? And is it the right thing to elect someone now or wait till the next election?
You don't have to carry it that far.
Well, they're going to, sorry, I can't hear y'all. They're going to mention the nominee, I think Friday or Saturday, they said. But, oh, God rest her soul. I wish she could have held on a little bit longer, at least a couple more months, at least till the end of the year. You know what I mean? I'm sure everybody feels like that as far as the election, because they showed two of his picks that he made, number 45 may pick. So, I don't know. It's going to be a huge impact on it. You have to remember that what get overturned through the Supreme Court. That's the final decision. The Supreme Court are the ones who make final decisions on laws being overturned. And certain things that we have concerns for right now, as far as with justice and things like that, I don't know who his choices would be. I just don't like that the choices are going to be under this administration. I wish she could have held on a little bit longer. We knew she was sick, but, you know, it's very, very, very heartbreaking overall, you know, for such an icon. So.
Yeah, and, like, gave up a great fight for a very long time, fighting pancreatic cancer, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And you look at a woman, like I told you, I'm like, look at a woman age and sickness. She's working out, doing her thing, while Mr. Trump is playing golf on the weekend, not exercising, not eating right, and basically doesn't give a crap what's going on in this world today. And Sean Black, with the passing of RBG, why Mitch McConnell is being a hypocrite on this case?
Well, I think when we start talking about the hypocrisy that's going to go into this potential seating of what they want to do with getting somebody to replace Ginsburg in the Supreme Court. We all remember when President Obama back in 2016 was in the same situation where he was in the last year of his term and was trying to get a Supreme Court justice nominated by the name of Merrick Garland. He tried to get that pushed in, and the second highest ranking Republican that was there in the Senate, his name was John Thune. He was the guy that basically was literally saying the American people should decide the judge by voting for the next president. Lindsey Graham, and this is his exact quote, "I want you to use my words against me. If there is a Republican president in 2016 and a vacancy occurs in the last year of the first term, you can say Lindsey Graham said, let's let the next president, whoever it may be, make that nomination." That was in 2016, in February of 2016, that same year. We fast forward now to 2020, and we're right now where we have a situation where this current president has already voted in two Supreme Court justices. We have now a vacancy in the Supreme Court, and usually they have 9 seats. For the longest, it's been an arbitrary number. For like the last 100 years, it's been about 9 seats. It's been between 6 and 10. The fact remains that the legacy that this president is trying to leave, whether he stays in office or not, is to get the Supreme Court in a conservative way, and usually a Supreme Court nomination, that's a lifetime gig. We're talking 20, 30, 40 years for some of these judges. So once you get somebody that's in there, the danger is a lot of the liberal laws that have been in place, or what conservatives would look at as liberal, i.e. Roe versus Wade, Obamacare, gay marriage. A lot of those kinds of laws that are on the docket were protected in a lot of instances by Ruth Bader Ginsburg's vote. That vote is gone now. And what this president wants to do is automatically push in a new conservative judge, conservative leaning, and of course, because he's trying to make it look like he's magnanimous, he wants to vote in a woman.
Oh, it's going
to
be a woman.
Isn't that like the biggest hypocrite? We all know that they're hypocrites, but here's the thing. They know that they're hypocrites. They don't even care now. They're making it transparent that they don't care, because what this administration is doing is trying to get their consolidation of power long after not only this president is out of office, but also if there is no prevailing Republican control in the Senate or the House. When you see the stuff that's been going on with the census, we know they've been trying to tilt the census around. We know about the mail-in voting, quote-unquote, suppression stuff that's going on there. We know about gerrymandering and moving the districts and the power that are in certain districts to get certain power moved so other people get more power in votes depending on where they live. So these are the kinds of things that are on the docket that happens, which makes those statements by a lot of these Republicans from 2016 look absolutely hypocritical.
Kato?
Shaking my head at the whole damn thing. When it comes to Ruth Bader Ginsburg, I mean, this was someone who was fighting for rights of Americans in the Supreme Court, and she was fighting so hard. And it really is sad that, you know, at her death, to try to do away with everything that she fought so hard for, and when you have people like Mitch McConnell, hypocrite number one, who's trying to look for, you know, a judge, but then after, when Donald Trump stands there boldly, like he says it so sarcastically, well, she's going to be a woman. What are you trying to prove? What is it that you're doing? I mean, here it is, an election year. All he cares about is winning an election. And meanwhile, you have all this stuff going on. And I could understand where Ruth Bader Ginsburg on her deathbed said, do not put in a nominee until the election. And she was right about that, but he's not waiting, because this is someone who goes totally against the book of rules. You know, when people set a book of rules and, you know, you got to follow them, he's not following them, because he's just showing poor leadership again. He's showing how sarcastic he really is. He doesn't care. He's above the law. Yeah.
He's Trump. He's above the law.
Yeah, he's above the law. That's all this guy thinks about. Him. That's it. Not anybody else.
Why are we still surprised? I don't get it. He followed.
I don't think we're still surprised.
I'm not surprised.
No surprise here.
But once again, he gives us something to talk about, like every single day.
Because he's a media whore. That's why.
Did we not think he was gonna put a female replacement? That doesn't surprise me either. I'm thinking she was a female. I would think they would fill the seat with a female. I don't know why people's even caring if it's a female or a male, but I would have thought, me personally, that they would fill it with another female again.
But even more one of those nominees not only is female, she's Cuban American. So he's trying to pander to
the Hispanic, Latino, Cuban vote,
which we all know for the most part, panders.
Latino
usually
vote, Sean Black. Don't we have something going on with the kids are still locked up and things like that?
Exactly.
They don't care.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? So,
Lady T, you and I actually work with common sense. We actually use common sense, which is something that we can't really say about a lot of people that are in power right now.
Okay.
And the issue goes with the people that know that's going on is that based on who's dictating the message, they're either going to deny the reality that's happening, or they're going to go with the status quo and continue to cheer for what the heck is going on now.
So then what's wrong with Joe Biden's you know, VP pick then, if they want to go that route with it. You know what I mean? So what are you guys complaining about on that end? So let's keep the scales balanced here.
Well, who did Biden pick again for VP? I forgot.
Kamala Harris.
Kamala Harris. Come on. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
So it could be in comparison with this whole scenario, with this nonsense.
Yeah, but
yeah.
It's all a joke. Like it's all a game.
Yeah, but like Sean said, I agree, and we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, how women, the Latino voters, are kissing Donald Trump behind, but women, he put kids and families, not in
families.
Jail cells, in cages. There's a difference between jail and cages. Cages. But they don't see that. And, I told Sean this quick story earlier. I had a coworker of mine who rented a car in D.C. and had some license plates, saying something that he wanted to fill up his gas. He's a black guy, of course. And a white woman came up to him, checked out his license plates with his D.C. Like, yeah. Give Trump 4 more years. Yeah, he will take this all the way. And, you know, he just play along.
Take
like,
this
okay,
all the
yeah,
way to hell.
Sure, yeah. Yeah, sure. Then he came back to Brooklyn with his wife, left the car parked overnight, came back, and someone wrote F. Trump on the license plate.
Wow.
It's like, wow. You know, he don't care about politics, really. I mean, he's more anti-Trump. But here he is, stuck in the middle. One person giving praise, another person can say go screw himself. It's not even his car. You know. It's
Are you
that
sure that it wasn't him that did that on the slide?
Hey, you know
exactly.
What? I thought about that. You know what I thought about that? But that'd be real stupid on his end because it's his credit card on that car right now.
Good
but
point. Good
and
showing
the government.
Yeah.
But showing the love and passion people have about politics. So whether this person is doing good or bad, someone will love him or her for whatever reason. And it's mind-boggling how people, the blacks, the Latinos, love Trump if he treated some of them like crap. But they don't see it that way.
You know,
and
Hot
Sean,
Rod, that's actually not love and passion. That's fanaticism.
No. Exactly.
There's one thing where you can say I'm so enthusiastic about where this particular politician is going as far as let me do a grassroots campaign, let me talk to the people. That's passion for what you're doing. What we're seeing is literally fanaticism, almost a cult following on the fact that a lot of things haven't happened that you would think would benefit more people than not. The majority of people that have polled in a lot of areas don't think that this country is going in the right direction. But the people that have the power to make something change, those are the ones, it's a small amount, but those are the ones that dictate who's going to win the election. And as we've seen, 39% of those people didn't vote. That's the difference.
No. And with this election, would that make any difference?
If they vote,
it
will. Only if they vote. Because, like I said before, if anybody that realizes, for whatever people think about Hillary Clinton, she only lost the vote by 71,000 votes on the fact that 39% of people did not vote. Even if she won
it was 46%,
half of those, if she got half of those votes, she would win the election. But that's not what happened. What happened is people were apathetic to what's happening. They changed their minds. They said, well, she didn't come to Wisconsin. She didn't come to this place. She didn't come to that place. They stayed home. They didn't think Trump was going to win. Trump ended up winning, and this is what you have now. And now the people that didn't vote are having buyer's remorse because I've been seeing more and more people that voted for Trump that have changed their minds. They're like, what did I do?
I know a couple of people who said the same thing because they were in 2016. Some of them were the same ones who decided to stay home and say, well, "I'm gonna sit this election out." And the next thing you know, they're putting their hands to their heads, screaming, saying, "What the hell just happened?" And now, if you notice, there are some people. Trump has lost some people, by the way, because there were people who did vote for him in 2016, and I don't know, due to the epidemic, due to this pandemic, that people are switching it. Like, you know what? I'm voting for the lesser of two evils. I ain't trying to vote for this man again. Look what he did.
So Cato, in your opinion, who do you think is the lesser of two evils? Because, like Sean Black always said, pick your poison, pick your diarrhea. You want hard diarrhea?
No, because you know what
diarrhea?
This election is all about? And like I told my neighbor today, this election is this, ABT. And I said it before, ABT is anybody but Trump.
Are you going around posting that to let it be known? You have 43 days, so what are you doing?
Yeah, I need to see. Oh, I have them.
But in 42 days, it will be like the best impact of our lives.
But at the same time,
you
know what?
We won't get an answer that day.
We can be so exhausted, we don't even know what's going to happen. It's always drama with the Trump administration. You may even have people that may say, oh, I'm not going to the polls. I'm drained with this. I'm drained with the corona. I'm drained.
But also, there's something else coming out soon. There's the debates that's coming up next week.
Nobody don't care about that.
I don't think debates are even the issue with this. They can debate all they want.
It's going to be interesting to watch.
For you, not for us, you know.
Here's something to keep in mind along the lines of what we talked about with the courts as far as what the Trump is trying to get done. For those that we haven't even thought about, this is the new thinking, is that people that have either recovered from COVID-19 or the people that have COVID-19 that are asymptomatic don't know that they've spread it. When you've finally gotten through it and you go to a doctor, having COVID or having had COVID is going to be a pre-existing condition.
Mm-hmm.
If the courts have their way, the way that Trump and the Republican conservative arm is trying to get into the Supreme Court, if they strike down a lot of those protections that Obamacare had on the docket, which was pre-existing conditions, you're going to have at least 30 million people off of health care. But it's going to increase because of the people that have actually survived COVID that may actually have that looked at as something. So keep that in mind going forward as you're looking to see who you're going to vote for.
Okay. Phil the Fish Man Fisher, take it away.
What's up, guys? Happy birthday, Hot Rod. So the question that I have is, in everybody on the panel's opinion, who do you think is the lesser of two evils to vote for?
Sean?
Oh, I think we already know. I think most people know the answer to this one. It's got to be Joe Biden in the sense that all of the stuff that Trump has said, he tried to paint this picture of what's going to happen in Joe Biden's America. Damage, pestilence, famine, death, war.
The last time I checked, all of this stuff
is happening on Trump's watch today. The last time I checked, Joe Biden isn't president. And if you're saying that all of this stuff is going to happen on Joe Biden's watch, I guess people haven't been looking at the news or been outside to see what's going on around them lately, because what they're describing will happen in Joe Biden's America is happening in Trump's America today.
The difference is experience, though, and more focused. We don't have time to play with the drama. You understand what I'm saying? We don't have that leeway in Joe Biden's administration. That's how I see it.
And Sean Black brought up a good point to me a couple of days ago. Have you guys recall, before 2016, so much drama happening all at the same time? The Trump administration?
This has been a reality show presidency.
Like I said earlier, you have a judge who passed away. There has to be drama about that. There has to be politics. They just cannot let it be. You have the Senate, the House, fighting each other left and right. but nothing's getting solved. What happened to our second stimulus package that's supposed to come out? And
that's if it's coming
out. After you take the vaccine, then you get your money.
I'm going to give you guys a funny story. I was on my way to work. This was weeks ago. I kept meaning to tell you guys about it. And one of the routes that I take, for weeks there had been a big Trump Pence 2020 side on the side of the road. And well, one day I'm driving on my route, and all of a sudden I see graffiti on the sign saying "Vote him out 11/23."
Wow.
And well, about two days later, the sign was removed, and it hasn't been seen since.
Is the message being spread across?
No, it is.
And talk about a message that needs to be sent across. Last night he had one hectic show, and he was on fire. I guess he want to bring that fire right now to our show. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you Brother B.
Brother B, what's up, man?
Okay.
First of all, greetings and salutations. And there ain't no fire going on right now. It's not, no fire. No fire. It's not even a heating blanket. None of that.
No embers? No smoke?
Nothing.
No sizzle? Nothing?
I just see it like this. You know, whoever the dude is, the so-called black conservative, you know, some people try to make these points about certain things, but when in the grand scheme of things, it all boils down to humanity, and a lot of people are just not seeing it. Like, politics be damned, because like I said, I don't know these people to represent me. I mean, they can talk a good one, but it doesn't mean that we share the same, you know, ideals, or we really fighting for the same causes. You know, it's all a shell game to me. But yeah, if it's going to be the lesser of two evils to get this dude out, it's going to be Biden. Now, is it going to be better? I'll be honest with you, I don't know. It may calm people down a little bit, but I think there's going to be a lot of people mad when Trump is ousted out, and he's not going to go quietly. And if he wins, I mean, shit, it's a wrap. Like, who knows what's going to happen after that? Probably going to be the great flood.
He's going to linger around on Twitter and still be talking his stuff. That's what's going to happen. We
talk
know that
a lot of
smoke. Yeah.
But you know what? They're going to have to fight him when he loses. It's going to be a fight, because it's going to be very bad, because he's not going to give up. He's going to go, "Oh, I'm staying," and it's like it's going to cause a lot of fight, because we.
But see, what
and
is
I'm
that teaching? What is that teaching everybody? That's why everybody's so mad and hateful right now. Like, they're taking, you know, plays out of his book, and they're not very smart. Like, the country, the world, everybody's just angry. Like, did you hear about that, the NYPD cop that got arrested because he was an agent of China? It's like, yo, what the hell is going on, man? Like, what's the deal here? But, people can say what they want about Obama, but it wasn't like this. It wasn't.
And he did
it
with integrity.
Yeah,
and
he showed that he was a leader. He showed true leadership.
So we thought the black guy was supposed to be ghetto. It's the white guy. Sorry to say it like that. Whoever's offended,
No, it's true.
He got five kids. He got five kids with three baby mamas. Explain that to me. You know, and he's a fried chicken. But besides that, Brother B, who have done more for the black Americans, Trump or Obama?
I hear crickets on the other side. That's what I'm hearing.
You know what the sad part about that is black people didn't take the opportunity when Obama was in office. I think a lot of them got lazy, and they were expecting for Obama to come through with a truck full of money and just start handing out reparations and, you know, everything else. And it didn't happen, and that's why they got mad. I think they really got mad because he didn't do what he wanted them to do. Trump, however, was just like, listen, you do what you got to do. I'm doing me, so you do you. So a lot of people were allowed, especially people with money, were able, you know, to get whatever little tax breaks and, you know, those things with mortgages and stuff like that. So people probably see it as someone as a come up, but he didn't do anything of any significant greatness, you know, for black people as a whole. He just did what he felt he needed to do business wise. And to a degree, he know how some of us are trying to get down in terms of economics. So we all, you know, no matter what color you are, we all embrace the whole economic thing, because whether you live in this country and you're trying to make it, or you live in this country and you're making money to send to your country to leave one day, it's all about the economics.
Well, the economics under Obama that we had with the, what was it, Hurricane Sandy and things like that, two hurricanes, wasn't it? Where we also was going into a recession. He helped with the unemployment. I think he upped the weeks or whatever the case was with that during that time. Every other house was about to be foreclosed. He cut deals for that. Obamacare. Do we forget the things that were saved, where we could have been looking
like
the disaster with New Orleans? Do we forget that was under the Bush administration? Do we forget that?
You know what's sad about
the recession? What that recession looked like?
Because you know what's sad about it?
What did he do for
black
people?
This is what I got to say. President Barack Obama is the president of the United States of America. He was the 44th president. He wasn't the president for black people. This is what black people, unfortunately, and I know the critic is going to give me hell when he texts tomorrow, which I don't care about. He wasn't put there to do, he's supposed to do this for black people. He's there for America. This is what we as a people, as black people, should have been doing. We should have been working on ourselves. We had a lot of work to do for ourselves. It wasn't up to Obama to snap his finger, hold your hand, and do this for you, or do this. No. How about doing for yourself? Why do we have to ask people to do things for us?
Okay.
I'm sorry, go ahead. Can I just say something real quick, Brother B, before you go? Because something that bothers me with a lot of followers with certain things, mm-hmm. I'm just going to say his name. You guys know Umar Johnson. They praise him as if he was the black president or something. They follow mm-hmm. him and give him the cash mm-hmm. flow. What are you doing for yourself other than giving this man who's running a big scheme, as if you can't see it because you're so engulfed in it as if it's some sort of cult or something? But what are you doing for yourself with your money, not giving it to him? This is what I hate about certain black people. Y'all always want a handout on certain things because another black person is of a certain status. You understand what I'm saying? Why are you mm-hmm. not taking your money and doing what you need to do with it for yourself, for your families?
Because we're too busy buying hair products and Chinese food and liquor. And
yeah, okay, and making the Chinese
stuff.
People
money
rich, and the liquor stores are the only
pockets.
People that's open during coronavirus. You understand what I'm saying? Like, come on with it already.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Brother B?
I mean, all I'm saying is, to go back to the original question, it's hard to pinpoint what he specifically did just for black people. I think he just did what he needed to do overall, you know, for the country that, you know, he was president over, you know, president in. You know, the issues that, you know, dealing with melanated people is on a different level. I mean, it's sad that with all that people have went through, we still cannot get it together. I mean, and we can't blame anyone else, because if you look at the Jewish, you look at the Hispanics, you look at, you know, Indian, you look at everybody else, they're doing what they have to do for them. We're like the lost children running wild. And to those that vote for Trump, you know, I mean, everybody's entitled to their opinion. God bless them. If they feel they're going to get something out of it, then so be it, because that's all it is. You vote for Trump is just because it's not because you may share the same ideology, but you're going to get something out of it. You vote for who you're going to, you know, who's going to work for you. And, Biden's probably going to, you know, get it with this, because this healthcare thing is serious, especially with the coronavirus running around and, mm-hmm. you know, it's spiking mm-hmm. over in Europe and stuff like that, you know, I mean, something, you know, something's got to give. How could you want to do away with health care?
Okay.
Makes no sense.
And Sean Black. Sean Black,
yeah.
Last word, then I have to go to the last topic.
Yeah, I think if you've just seen the totality of everything that we just talked about, just in the 49 or 50 minutes we've been on the air today, you can pick and choose a lot of those things and then aim that towards what's going to happen if another 4 years goes through. There are a lot of things that can happen that probably will happen if Trump is reelected. The technology industry is going to be thrown in the air because we saw what's going on with TikTok and all of the other stuff for those that care about that stuff. We know what's going to happen with healthcare because this president has been trying to throw Obamacare under the bus since he got in and even all of the times prior. We also know what he's trying to do now, which he had New York, Portland, and Seattle looked at as anarchy jurisdictions. And he said he wants to try to repeal funding from them because of how what's going on. Mostly that's something that is against Democratic-run areas that he can't, quote-unquote, control. And the last time I checked, that's a congressional deal. He has no jurisdiction to do that. But this just goes to show you these are the kinds of power plays that this person is going to try and use if he gets another term in office. Which, as we've been talking about before, what's the greater of two evils? You're either going to get the devil you know or the devil you don't know. I would rather go with the devil I know so that I don't burn as fast.
Okay. And last but not least, Brother B and Lady T, you are parents of beautiful daughters, and you, and Brother B, you have a teenage daughter. Sean brought this topic brought up to me a few weeks ago about the Netflix movie that everybody was talking about, Cuties. I believe that's the name of the movie, Cuties.
Yes.
Where you have little girls, 11 years old, dancing, twerking in a movie. Brother B,
yes.
Your father, like I said, do you have a problem with a movie like that of an 11-year-old girl twerking? And do you consider that child pornography?
I wouldn't consider it child pornography, but I consider it suggestive, and I don't like it. Like, it's not something that I would support, because why? I mean, I saw a preview of it, and I really don't like it. Like, I think it's disgusting. Because, all right, if you had a little family get together, and you got one of the little nieces and nephews doing it, and you don't like it, why would we like it on the big screen? You know what I'm saying? Listen, they don't need that to be doing stuff like that. You know, I don't think that's art compared to what some other people may think. I think that's disgusting.
And my question is, where are the parents?
What do you mean, where are the parents?
Who are the directors behind this?
The director is a woman.
Yeah.
Yes. And she didn't see it as what color woman?
What color?
She's black. She's an African.
Yes.
She's from Senegal, and she said that she created the movie to show how the world sexualizes young girls. And she said a lot of this, the movie that she did, was based on stuff that I guess happened in her life, and it's literally supposed to be about a Senegalese young girl who's trying to break away from her family and befriends a bunch of like-aged 11-year-olds, and then they become part of a twerking team to go national for some competition. And there's a lot of suggestive crap in it, like the girl taking off her pants and taking a picture of her crotch and sending it on the internet in the movie.
All right.
Yeah, but Sean,
very interesting with doing that as far as twerking. I'm thinking you also, a lot of people of West Indian descent, soca music and stuff like that, 11-year-olds are whining into that. So we want to talk about
exactly.
Twerking. I understand her logic that she's trying to show you what's going on, but you also need to wonder what happened to these girls. were these girls also molested and things like that, where they think this is so okay, where you can do things like that. You want to twerk and take pictures of your crotch, and what's really going on the other end
well,
of that?
But does stuff like that happen in real life? Why not tell a story about that?
Yes,
overall?
That I understand. I get the point with that. I get the point, but we're not in an era where back in the day in our generation that would have been a documentary and we would have learned from it. We're in an era where it's now going to be so cool to do that. You get my point?
Yeah, but
two
okay,
different
compare
things.
That to.
And
sure,
I agree.
That
I
to,
agree. Like, yeah, that would be a documentary.
Mm-hmm.
But this was a dramatization where you know you got actors and actresses, like you said, 11 years old. Doing this stuff. But here's the preview.
Wow.
Is the fact that Netflix, because of all of the negativity that has come from this movie, they lost $9 billion in stock value in one day.
As they should.
Yeah,
but
because that's
back.
Just disgusting.
But,
Netflix has an advantage
that.
Right now, something that we forget, that the movie industry is out, so Netflix is all you have right now. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, so it's not going away.
Yeah.
Hold on. I have one more caller. Uh-oh, get ready, guys. 404, take it away.
Now, why are you acting like I'm the bad guy? What's up, y'all?
Because I know you're going to start the fire. I know you're going to start the fire. So go ahead. You got 3 minutes left.
Go ahead. My man just kind of laid out, like, the framework for it. Basically, you had somebody who was trying to do something that they felt was important and lay it out in an artistic way. But when you're selling something for consumption on Netflix, you don't have control over how they promote it or how they put it out there.
Oh, yeah.
So that screen cap
True.
Image
yeah.
of
yeah.
how that mm-hmm. show was supposed to look, that set off a firestorm on social media. People are like, man, what the hell is this? What are y'all doing? And then with people
yeah.
being so kind of, you know, thinking about sex trafficking and all the other stuff that people have been talking about last few years, that was just right for social media like Twitter, Facebook, for people to share it without watching it, share it without looking into it, and just assuming the worst. And that's Netflix's fault. So they deserve to lose money because they did this.
Mm-hmm.
When you read an article from somebody, they're like, look, man, I didn't have control over what they gave the title for the article. I didn't mean for it to look like that. If you read the article, it's totally different from that, from the title. But that's what happens in those boardrooms. So, yeah, this is a Netflix issue, and they should have lost money for how they rolled this out, because they should have rolled it out way more
different
from
when they showed
it
at the Sundance Film Festival. And the movie poster was of all the 11-year-olds kind of running through France or whatever was the case, because it's a French movie. Now, the American version, which I sent the poster to Hot Rod when I first saw when they did the trailer, this all looks like, you know, it looked like something straight out of one of those cheerleader movies with a bunch of 11-year-olds, one is on their knees twerking.
Yeah.
It's
which
ridiculous.
Makes
it
looks like somebody whose laptop is about to get taken and they about to go to jail.
Exactly.
That's what it
looks like. Exactly.
When we take
dance schools, that what they wear and that what they teach in these dance schools overall at a young age. So you have to keep that in mind. It's not necessary the parents on the movie. Go to the dance schools. That's what they're wearing.
Now, my daughter was in Alvin Ailey. My daughter was in Alvin Ailey, and there's certain dances that they were just doing, whether it was classic
mm-hmm.
or was hip hop,
mm-hmm.
but they wasn't doing stuff like that.
Exactly.
They wasn't doing stuff like
this,
that.
This was a lot of the stuff that they showed was not like, you know, dance pieces from periods of time. This was stripper dance pole twerking.
In other
kind
words,
of
child
stuff.
Porn.
Okay. All right, before we go, guys, thank you all for being part of the show. What about this MTV show, 16 and Pregnant? Was that another taboo type of show back then compared to Cuties?
It's just a scoop.
No, that was just simply America softening an issue in the white community that they
mm-hmm.
demonized black women for decades. So all of a sudden,
exactly.
Teen Moms became something that was entertainment as opposed to the decades where they told us these girls were the worst things and the thing that was bringing down society. So that was just typical American hypocrisy. That didn't surprise me. The fact that they
I'll
became
give you another
stars
one.
that part was like, damn, they really ate this up. Oh, my bad.
I'll give you another one. Bridezilla. They're redoing another season of Bridezilla.
Yeah, yeah.
And if you have seen the commercial for Bridezilla, for the exception of one couple, all of the couples in the show that they've shown in the commercial are all African American. Keep that in mind.
Guys, thank you so much from the bottom of my heart. We did a great show tonight. Take care, stay safe, and don't forget to wear your mask and wash your hands, especially you, Sean Black.
Right.
Have a good night, everyone. Thank you.
The
blank
was all yours. Peace out.
Yes. All right. Good night, everyone.